Psalm 5. This is the reading of God's word. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word. Let our faith grow and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what is true of us forever in heaven. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, by your grace that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us who hear your word, let us hear it, let us understand it, and believe it. And obey it. We pray you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 5. The title of this psalm says that it is David's psalm. Now, so many scholars say that this psalm cannot be David's. Why? Well, they say because of verse 7, which says, "But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you." See, it mentions God's house and God's holy temple. And during the life of David, the temple was not completed yet. That's why they would say, this cannot be David's psalm. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, it speaks of time when the temple was not accomplished yet. But there, 1 Samuel 1, 7, it says, "It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat." Well, this verse also speaks of the period in which the temple was not erected, but the phrase, the house of the Lord. And if you go to 1 Samuel 1:9, just a couple verses down, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Again, the phrase, the temple of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Here in two verses we see the phrases, the house of the Lord, the temple, the tabernacle, the tent. See, all these words are interchangeable. So we have no problem whatsoever taking this psalm to be David's, because the title says so. The title also has an instruction for the choir director. For the choir director for flute accompaniment. For the wind instruments or the pipe instruments. Or literally, nehilath. It could mean play according to the tune that is called nehilath. We cannot know for sure. So we just move on. Verses 1 to 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayers to you and eagerly seek. As you can see, this is an earnest prayer. Give ear to my words, consider my groaning, heed the sound of my cry. You could tell, again, the author is going through much sufferings when he is writing this psalm. And like I said, I think I said, most of Psalms will be like this, that the author is going through so much suffering as he writes this. See, he calls God's people to rejoice, praise God, in the midst of suffering. But in the midst of suffering, God hears our prayers. He says, my King and my God. It is to God we pray, to our Lord. By addressing our God, we witness the reality of our relationship with God. God who loves us. God who hears our prayers. We're not just screaming to open air. We are actually praying to our God. Verse 7, your abundant loving kindness. Thus we pray to our God. And verse 3, we eagerly watch. Like a watchman awaits the morning. All day. Because we pray in the morning. And all day we eagerly wait for God's response. All day, it's joy to wait upon our Lord. In the morning, I will order my prayers to you. Thus, this psalm is a morning prayer. He says, I will order my prayer. This phrase reminds us that the priest, what priest did during the morning sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 7 through 8, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priest, will arrange the pieces, the head, the sweat over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The word arrange, it is the same Hebrew word as order in our verse. We too, as His priests in Jesus Christ, start our daily service to God by ordering our prayers to our God in the morning. Early in the morning, the very first thing we do as the day begins, we seek our God. Psalm 105 verse 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Our Christian life begins with our prayer to God. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. This is our confession. Verse 1, consider my groaning. God knows our hearts. Many times it is really hard for us to articulate our groaning. So we groan. But God understands. You know, good prayer is not like good speech. Just because you use so much sophisticated words or it sounds so great doesn't make it great prayer. Sometimes, that's all you could do. But thank God, He understands. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 2, the sound of my cry for help, a loud cry to our God. Yes, sometimes it's groaning and other times it's loud cry. But God blesses us that even then, even as we cry out to God, God enables us to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His piety. How blessed are we that so many times we feel that we're hopeless and helpless, so we cry out to God, and even then, is imitating our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the Psalm 1, this Psalm also divides the people into two, the righteous and the wicked. And they are who they are in terms of their relationship with God. See, the righteous, you are righteous in Christ. It doesn't mean you live better life than non-Christians. But just fact that you are related to God, that you are His people, that God is your Father, your life matters to Him. The wicked is portrayed in verses 4 through 6 and 9 and 10. For You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, no evil dwells with You. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. Verse 9 and 10, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. The wicked persecutes the righteous. Verse 4, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. Verse 10, in the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out. Thrust them out from your presence, from your kingdom. Verse 5, they are boastful. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the wicked, verse 5, who do iniquity, they sin against God. Verse 6, those who speak falsehood, and the man of bloodshed and deceit. Verse 9 says, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. And they flatter with their tongue. If you put all those things together, it speaks of mouth, heart, throat, and tongue. They persecute with what they say. Their throat is an open grave. They slander and they are the man of bloodshed. Speaking falsehood, deceit, and nothing reliable in what they say. They pretend that they are not, but their heart is destruction itself. And they flatter with their tongue, just like Satan the serpent. He came to Adam and Eve with flattering, but wanted to destroy them. And they make false accusations. You know, as we study other Psalms, God says some very harsh things about the wicked who are non-believers. And some Christians even think that, oh man, that's too harsh. And the non-Christians that I know, they're not so evil. You say those kind of stuff because you're judging them according to worldly standards. Worldly morals. Oh, many non-Christians are much better than us. See, when we look at Buddhist and how they live, we don't say that's evil. Because according to worldly morals, there's nothing evil about it. But when Bible speaks of evil, wicked, it's exactly that. That heart that rejects God, that is the most evil thing in the universe. And we need to judge things according to the word, not according to what you think or what you experience out there. But always remembering, we are not better than non-Christians. Many, many times we're actually worse than them. But our sins are forgiven. God receives us as righteous in His sight. That's the only difference. It's a big difference, yes. So when you hear these harsh words about non-Christians, do not understand those words in terms of worldly morals. Having another God, worshipping Buddha, or worshipping any other God, that is the most wicked thing according to God. Very first commandment. But that's not how the world will judge. And you and I were such. We were just like them. Now, David prays to God that he would, verse 6, destroy. Verse 6, abhor. Verse 5, hate them. David prays to God that God would destroy them, abhor them, and hate them. David prays, verse 5, they shall not stand before your eyes. Do you remember Psalm 1? No sinner will stand in the assembly of the righteous. David seeks God to, verse 10, hold them guilty, O God, by their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. Now, I wish I had more time to explain this more fully. And maybe I'll take one Friday Bible study to do so. But this is what we might call eschatological ethics. All that David is saying, it points to the final judgment of God in the event of Jesus Christ's second coming. But this is the time of grace. Yes, when Jesus comes back, you and I, we will cry out to God for God to judge this world and throw non-Christians, thrust them out to hell. But not until that day. Not until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until that day, you love your enemies. Because that enemy that you think is enemy, he might turn into your brother tomorrow. You don't know who's going to believe Jesus Christ tomorrow. You are to love them. But see, when Jesus returns that day, we know who is our brother. Because after that day, no one will be saved. And you will be very clear of who your enemies are. And God will cast them into hell. And that day, we rejoice as His will is done. But not until that day. We do not go out and hate our enemies, or hate non-Christians, or pray God to destroy them. No. See, you got to understand the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will make so much serious mistakes, serious sin. Just like crusaders in our history. Man, in the name of Jesus, they went into other country and they killed these people because they say, I'm not going to believe in Christ. Do you think that's what God wants us to do? You take up your sword and go ask, and if they don't want to believe in Christ, we kill them? And that's what crusaders did. God never tells His people to do that. No, God tells us if somebody hits your right cheek, then give him the other. Obviously, there are so many Christians in history who misunderstood the Old Testament. Thus, we have events like Crusaders. This is why I want more time to explain this kind of stuff, but maybe on one Friday. But it is pointing to the final judgment. See, when Israelites went into the promised land, and God told them to kill everybody there, that event points to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just like what we see as Joshua goes into land of Canaan and kills everyone, that's exactly what Jesus will do when he comes back. But see, not until that day though. Before that day, even Abraham, who went to the same place, the promised land, but he could not just kill everybody and take the land. No. When his wife died, he had to buy the land to bury his wife. Until that day, until Joshua goes in, which points to the second coming of Christ, Abraham did business with the people who are living in the promised land. Just like us. We do business in this world with non-Christians. We live peacefully with them, loving them, preaching the gospel to them, until that day when Jesus returns. Well, let us continue our psalm. The wicked persecute and accuse David, but ultimately he says they are rebellious against you. Paul quotes verse 9 in Romans chapter 3, verse 13, their throat is an open grave and their tongues keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips. This is the reality of the sinners who are fallen in sin. All men are sinners without exception. You and I, we were sinners one time, but we are saved. James chapter 3, verse 6 through 8, the tongue is a fire and very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire and fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. And you could see what the Bible is saying. Yes, we could tame the animals, wild animals out there, but tongue? Oh, we hurt people with what we say. And sometimes we kill people. Bullying is one example. Control our tongue. The sinner must be recreated by God. There is no other hope. You cannot just teach sinners to be better. No. Nothing less than the new creation is needed. But David says, verse 7, but as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. He is a righteous person in Christ, of course. But he knows that he is able to worship God, not because we are worthy, truly righteous ourselves, but by your abundant loving kindness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 21. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not hear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. This shows in the Old Testament time, when God came to his people, people were just terrified. To the sinners, it is a terrifying experience coming of God. But David joyfully comes to God and worships him. Verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them over sing for joy, and may you shelter them, and those who love your name may exalt in you. Only by his abundant loving kindness. Verse 8, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Lead me in your righteousness. Make your way straight before me. Make your will clear to me. Lead me to obey your will. Verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. You may shelter them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor, as with a shield. Taking refuge in God. Yes, brothers and sisters, our lives here on earth are filled with sufferings and persecution. But God is our refuge. Be glad. Let us ever sing for joy, because God will shelter us. Let us exalt in God. All those who love his name, God is joyous over these. He will surround them with favor as with a shield. But you cannot take these words and apply to you in earthly terms. Not yet. Well, actually never, because even when these things will be visibly consummated, it will not be this world. It will be heaven, the other world. But it is your spiritual reality. Yes, God protects us spiritually. No one is able to touch us spiritually. Even Satan cannot touch us spiritually. Oh, but many, many things in this world can kill us. Oh, this virus? What, if you're righteous, then this virus will not kill you? Man, some people will, you know, believe those things because of these kind of verses. In the Psalm, it says God will protect you. It's a common grace. He might spare you or he might not. But what I know for sure is that my spirit is protected forever. Even when my body dies, my spirit will go to God and he will receive me. Nothing can change that. Just listen to these beautiful words, but apply to you spiritually, please. I like reading these kind of verses. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Even evildoers came upon me to destroy, devour my flesh. My adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This is my life. And this will be visibly consummated as God saves me from this world, as I find myself in heaven, protected forever by the power of God. Satan and all of his forces, they attack me to destroy me, devour me, but I will be protected forever. And in that glorious place, as I see those enemies of mine just completely destroyed forever and ever, I will sing praises to my God forever and ever in that glorious place. This is my life. This is your life. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilences. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You are completely protected forever. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Oh, I used to love this verse. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. As we live our lives here, you hear His voice through these words. God is with me. He will protect me. But we do not apply these in earthly terms. Not anymore. Let us rejoice, shout with joy, and sing praises to the Lord. Let us enjoy our God. Yes, we'll face sufferings and persecution until we die. We do not rejoice because our God gets rid of those sufferings in our lives, but we rejoice because we love Him and He loves us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, how much did He suffer because of the false accusations of the sinners, because of the man of bloodshed and deceit? Matthew 23 verse 27 and 28, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, But inwardly, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They like a tomb that is painted. Looks clean, but it stinketh with death. They actually kill our Lord. Our Lord completely trusted His Father. He lived His life in terms of fellowshipping with His Father. He completely entrusted Himself to His Father. He was ever glad in His Father, ever joyous, ever worshiping His Father. He was and truly righteous, but He died on the cross for our sins. All the judgment that King David wished upon the wicked in our psalm, our Lord Jesus Christ received all of them for us in our places. Because He was bearing our sins on the cross, He was destroyed. He was thrust out. In Him, we have become God's righteous people. His blood has cleansed all our sins and we are clothed with His righteousness. He has called us righteous in His sight. But only in Jesus Christ we are righteous in His sight. Without Christ, we are the wicked in this psalm. But in Christ, we are the righteous in this psalm. Psalm 15 verse 1, O Lord, who may abide in Your tent? Who may dwell in Your holy hill? Only those who are in Christ. The only reason that our Lord hears our prayers is Jesus Christ. This world is full of falsehood and deceit. 1 John chapter 2 verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the only who denies the Father and the Son. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10, the one who believes in Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. These persecute the righteous in Jesus Christ. Psalm 46 verse 2 to 6, hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who has sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. Oh, these people make false accusations. They said that person did this or said that, when you don't even know what they're talking about. They sharpen their tongue so that they could shoot like an arrow. To shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustice, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot. For the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 33, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9 through 13, for I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death. Because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and poorly clothed and roughly treated, and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to reconcile. we have become as scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. But brothers and sisters, until Jesus' return, we love these people. Not until that day, we do not pray to God to destroy, hate, abhor them, that they shall not stand before God. It is not that day yet, brothers. It is time of grace. We pray that God will save them. And even in the midst of sufferings and persecution, we flee to God. God is our refuge. We come to God and we worship God just like today. I don't know about you, but coming to worship, for me, it is coming out of the world. Every day, you know, I try, and I fail many times. And to be honest, many days I completely forget about it. But whenever I remember, every day is my practice saying goodbye to this world. You live your life in that term, saying goodbye to this world. And on Lord's Day, you come out of that world and you come to God. God, so that together with my brothers and sisters, we worship Him. Yeah, it's not so happy to go back to the world, but I have to. Because God gives us things to do. Until that day, until He calls us, we are to diligently do all the tasks that He has given us. It could be whatever. So for some of you, right now it's studying. For some of you, it's working in a job, having a business. We do that so that we could do our real job. To be witness of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of this world. And you practice saying goodbye. And on the Lord's day, you come to God. You escape. You depart. And actually, coming home. Coming to God. To worship. It is so amazing grace that we are able to flee to Him. He's our refuge. No matter how hard your life might be, He will receive you. Actually, He will receive you with joy. Even in the midst of sufferings and persecution, we have place to go. You know, all might happen, whatever that might happen out there, or whoever does this or that, whatever, you and I, we say, as for me, as for us. By God's abundant loving kindness, we enter His house at His holy temple. We bow in reverence for Him. You know, just tear up joy. Be glad, brothers and sisters, you have come to God. Oh yeah, for some people, this is crazy. They might say, they come here and go, what God? I don't see him. What heaven? Man, you're all brainwashed. Man, his will. God is will to me. It's more will than you that I see with my physical eyes. You know, I sometimes talk to non-Christian, you know, and I was dying to talking to a dying Christian. I'm dying non-Christians. Oh man, I better get this thing straight. Talking to a dying non-Christian, I say, you gotta believe Christ. And he, you know, this guy, he says, I want to. I can't. And I realized that he's telling me the truth. Because you know what? If you tell me, hey, young, stop believing Christ. Just denounce him. And I have to tell you, even if I want to, I can't. God will not let me go. And he gave me this faith. And with that faith, I cannot think any other way. And this is not like, you know, I'm deceiving myself, I'm telling false things to myself. No, this is who I am. This is how I am. I cannot do any other way. Even if somebody comes and say, I'll kill you. Otherwise, you know. Well, then we just have to go, okay, man, kill me. What can we do? We cannot stop believing God. Go home and try. You can't. And there's nothing that makes us more joyous and come to his house and worship. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, be glad, ever singing for joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will know the meaning of these words. When the author of these Psalms, he's ever joyous, praising God and worshiping God. I pray that each and every one of you and myself too, that we will know this joy. It's not just you kind of imagining, oh, that joy maybe might be this way or that way, but that you know this joy. Psalm 32, verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous one, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to live that strong Christian life? Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad and give him all the glory and sing praises to your God. You know, when we sing him, let us sing with joy. This is why I ask you to come to worship at least 10 minutes earlier. And look at the program. It tells you which hymns we're going to sing today. Read those words. Read them. And say, whoa, I want to say that. I want to say that to my God. You know, I'm not good in English, so I cannot come up with like poetical language, which, you know. But see, thank God that's not what he's asking. But someone else wrote it for me. I just need to choose the right ones that says what I want to say to God. That's why we cannot sing some of those praise songs out there, because that's not what we want to say to God. And once you say, oh, I want to say that to God, oh, then say it. As we sing, let us say these things to God. Praise Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, you are so lovely and you are so blessed, because you are at God's house worshiping. You know, you could do all kinds of other things out there, and you could do some makeup or do something to your hair or whatever, but no other time you will be as beautiful as right now as you worship your God. You even look so beautiful to me. And I cannot even imagine how beautiful you are to God as you worship Him. So much joy to know how joyous He is to receive worship from you. Brothers and sisters, you're not just sitting there listening to boring words that you don't want to, you know, when is it over? But no, you joyfully come to God and worship Him. And I dare say, if you don't want to worship, don't come. You know, we're not begging anybody to come. I don't know, some churches might be begging you, but not our church. Come to worship. Praise His holy name. Let us do that together. Let us do that forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. You are so wonderful, so beautiful, so awesome. Our words fail describing You. But You could read our hearts. Even as our lips cannot articulate what's in our hearts, You could read it. We love You, God. We pray that You shout with joy also, as You have told us that You do, as You receive our worship and our praises. Oh Father, we give You all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.